Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Sam Darnold, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Have a good show, boys.
Thank you, Sam, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. March 15, 2022. Why Sam Darnold, Anthony? I don't get why that intro.
Looking around. We've used a lot of the same ones recently.
Yeah, so let's use the backup quarterback of the Panthers.
Sam's a friend of the program.
Hold on, that's not right.
He's a friend of the program.
I don't attack him for this.
I think he likes us.
Well, I'm sure he does, but anyway.
I'm not mad at anybody. It just struck me as funny, that's all.
Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours.
Other
20 and a half, your responsibility. Why 3.5 hours, Don?
Because we've got the Rangers and the Ducks tonight at Madison Square Garden. I'll be on the call with one of your favorites, Michael, Pete Stemkowski.
I love Stemmer.
Rangers back from a 2-2 road trip, and let's get to work.
This story, the Daily News is reporting, and we'll get to it right away, and we've got some phone calls out. The Daily News is reporting that a mandate that was instituted by outgoing mayor Bill de Blasio on December 27th affects the Yankees and the Mets, and that is that private sector people that are not vaccinated cannot work. And so you said, well, last year the Yankees were able to play, the Mets were able to play, they've got unvaccinated players. Well, not this year unless the rules change. So Stefan Bondi, who did the story for the Daily News, did get a hold of a City Hall spokesperson who said that is, in fact, the truth. They cannot play if they're unvaccinated, but it can change before opening day. Now, opening day is breathing down our neck. So the first team to play at home will be the New York Yankees on April 7th. The Mets end up opening on the road. But if they don't change it for Kyrie Irving and the Nets, will they change it for the Yankees and the Mets? Now, I think that the Yankees and the Mets politically probably have more sway than the Nets do, although the Nets have a very powerful, rich owner in Josiah as well, and they haven't been able to get this changed. But there's so many ramifications from this, because we knew that the unvaccinated players, let's start with the Yankees, and there are unvaccinated players on the Yankees. It's never been particularly laid out there who it is, but we know he's not with the Yankees right now. He's a free agent. Anthony Rizzo said he wasn't vaccinated. And, if they re-sign him, well, he's not going to play in the 9 games in Toronto. Now, the New York City spokesperson said those rules could change by opening day. Toronto doesn't like it's changing. Canada doesn't like it's changing anytime soon. No. So all of a sudden, some of your best players on the Yankees would not be playing 9 games against a team that they're going to be battling at least for a wild card, maybe for the American League East Division. And the interesting thing is this. If this rule stays in effect and they can't play at home, the basic agreement that was just signed says that you do not get paid and you do not get service time. So let's say that one of the Yankees that's not vaccinated is due to be a free agent at the end of the year. Well, if he doesn't play in 81 home games, you know what? He ain't a free agent at the end of the year. So if there is such a player on the Yankees, he's got quite a decision to make.
Yeah.
So this throws a whole wrench into everything, because it was always my understanding, Don and Peter, that Kyrie couldn't play because of the indoor aspect.
Right.
But with the outdoor aspect of the Yankees and the Mets, why is this a thing? But it sounds, according to the Daily News, like it's a thing.
Yeah, but it's the first time that we've heard, Michael, if you want to try to skew this positive, that there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, this could change before opening day. With all the arguments with Adams and Kyrie, there was never any light at the end of the tunnel. There was ever any conversation that we might be close to a day. Will this be allowed to happen? So the fact that it was thrown out there, it could change by opening day, and opening day is less than 3 weeks away, sounds like something can be done here. Now, the difference between this and Kyrie, as you said, is the outside aspect. So is that going to be the difference? Like, if I'm a Net fan right now, I might get excited and say, hey, maybe by April 7th, Kyrie will be allowed to play. But will there be a separation between, well, the Mets and Yankees can play because they're outside, Kyrie still can't play because the NBA is indoors?
But even the indoor aspect is dumb, Don, which we've said.
No, I know that.
So, but what I'm saying is, if they won't change it for one player on the Nets because of the implications it would have with possibly the teachers union, then, I mean, the Yankees and the Mets are so much more visible. I mean, we're talking about the Yankees. They were in an 85% vaccination rate. That's with staff and everybody, Don and Peter. The Mets were much lower than that.
Yes.
Now it's interesting because Buck Showalter was asked today, well, what if there was another booster that you had to get a fourth shot? And he said, just tell me where to stick it. So he's sending a message, you know what, I'm going to take it. I'm 65 years old, but there seem to be a lot of Met players that do not want to take it.
Now, and Yankee players too. Now, the difference is none of them
are not at the, but the Mets never got over 85%.
Right, but to me, it's not so much about the 85% to whatever. It's like, what players are we talking about here? Right, we don't know the players. So let's say the Mets are at like 70%, but they're at 70% because there's a lot of – remember, when we were talking about the percentage, that was the whole team. That's the traveling party and all that. But when we're talking about sheer players are concerned, what if there are more Met players than Yankee players, but the Yankee players are more significant? Like, so we need to know who these players are, but – they were never forced to do it last year because it never came down to, well, you're not going to play. We saw in the NBA there were players that did not want to get vaccinated, found out that they wouldn't be allowed to play, and then got vaccinated. So could the stance be different when the threat is you could lose half your salary, 81 games, more than 81 games not played because you couldn't play the games in Toronto?
It would be 90.
That change the mind of some of those players?
It's a great question by you, Don. I don't have the answer to it because the only thing that – they couldn't do last year. I guess they couldn't go out and dine in restaurants, and they didn't have the freedom that the players that were vaccinated have. But this time, not playing games and not getting paid, that's a lot of money, and it's huge. If it's in fact a player that is going to be a free agent, because they're not going to be a free agent if they don't get those times in.
Right. And to lose their half their salary. So we'll see. I'm sure there'll be some players, Michael, that would change their stance. But there's also, I'm sure, players that are like, no, I don't care. I don't want to do this. But I would think there'd be some players to say, you know what, I don't want to do it. But if I'm going to lose service time, if I'm going to lose half of my salary, and I'm going to affect my teammates to that extent, I'm going to do it.
Now, Aaron Judge is speaking to the media right now saying he'd like to get a contract done before the end of spring training. But somebody in the media down in Tampa asked him if he is in fact vaccinated. Here's what he said.
I'm still focused on, you know, just getting through the first game of spring training. So I think we'll cross that bridge whenever the time comes. But right now, so many things could change. So I'm not really too worried about that right now.
Now, I'm not quite sure. Was he answering if it was vaxxed or about the rule? So. If he didn't answer whether he is vaxxed or not, that kind of leads you to believe that. Because if you're vaxxed, why wouldn't you just say you're vaxxed? So I certainly don't want to, put words into Aaron Judge's mouth. But if you're vaxxed, you just say, yeah, I'm vaxxed. But let's hear one more time what he said.
I'm still focused on, just getting through the first game of spring training. So I think we'll cross that bridge whenever, the time comes. But right now, so many things could change. So. I'm not really too worried about that right now.
It almost sounds like he's answering the question about this rule because
right.
So many things could change. I mean, is he saying that whether he's vaxxed or not could change or whether these rules could go away? I really believe if a player is forced or faced with not playing for 90 games and not getting paid for 90 games, that would be one hell of a conviction to not do. But although, I think Kyrie Irving's done it.
He did it.
Kyrie Irving's done just that. But if a player is due to be a free agent, Peter, he would technically be costing himself $100 million or delay getting a big life changing contract for 1 year if you don't get this vaccine. I mean, that's even more than Kyrie's given up.
And it's an odd. The whole thing is very odd because, as I said yesterday, you know, I wasn't that interested in the Kyrie of it all. It feels very small. We're talking about one person. This is weird because now it would probably involve more people again immediately, and it's outdoors, which seems to feel even that much more confusing. And it really sort of presents the case that we need to get a better understanding of why this is all happening. I think it's a lot easier to ignore when it's one player on one team. But with a new season starting, and also, you're willing to give basketball the benefit of the doubt because the season ran back all the way into when Omicron was out of control. Whereas now, you're starting a season in which we clearly, to at least for now, appear to be on the other side of this thing. It makes it seem that much more glaringly bad.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too, I just thought of, guys. What if you're a player who says, listen, I don't want to get vaccinated, and boy, it sounds like they're going to change the rules, so I'm going to hold out. Because I think that within the first week or two of the season, they'll have their come-to-Jesus moment, and then I won't have to get vaccinated. Especially when you hear somebody from the city say it could be resolved by opening day, then there may be players who say, well, then I'm going to wait till opening day. Oh, you know, they didn't change it yet. All right, I'll miss a couple of games. So could there be outliers who are going to wait, and then the next thing you know, you're a month into the season and they didn't waive it yet?
Now, Andy Martino of SNY tweeted out that Cashman said yesterday that some unidentified Yankees who were unvaccinated last year are vaccinated now. Judge happened to be at podium as today's news was breaking and declined to say whether he is vaccinated.
Well,
wait, Aaron Boone or Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Boone is vaccinated.
We're forced to speculate because that's what we do for a living, and we don't have an answer. But, guys, if you have to guess, you know, Aaron Judge is not vaccinated.
Right, because if you're vaccinated, just say it. And I even feel that if you're unvaccinated, why not say it? Because if you're unvaccinated, there's a reason you're unvaccinated. You feel very you have a conviction about it. And Kyrie, to his credit, has kind of like tried to give his reasoning. I think he's talked around it a little bit, but he never hid that he wasn't, unvaccinated. He said, I'm unvaccinated. But let's put it this way. The Yankees and the Mets are in the process of negotiating with people or maybe trading for people. And they've got to get a definite yes or no from the city whether or not this thing is going to stay through the season. Because if it is, I hate to say it, you cannot acquire players that are unvaccinated.
Right.
You just can't.
Yeah.
If you're a New York team and this rule is in place and there's a free agent that you think you want to sign and you know he's unvaccinated and he doesn't want to get back, bye, you're gone. You can't be here. You can't be here. Because the way I look at it, I'm just guessing now, and I'm not even going to try to out players that might be vaccinated or unvaccinated. I'd say at least four players in the Yankees starting lineup potentially are unvaccinated. At least four that I could think of. You can't play the game without those four players. You would not be a competitive team. So you can't bring another guy in that's unvaccinated. So the Yankees and the Mets have to have substantive conversations with the city. Is this changing or not? Because this is going to decide how we put this team together.
Yeah. And, you know, when it comes down to dollars and cents, Michael, and again, no offense to the Nets or Kyrie, you know, the Yankees and Mets being compromised and possibly affecting their chances of winning and attendance going down because of it affects the economy of the city. You know, so this is something that the city has to be involved in. They've got to work hand in hand. Now, you do what you got to do as the city. And if you don't want to lift a mandate, don't lift a mandate. But you've got to be in constant contact and let them know. Plus, Michael, with the HIPAA laws, do you have access, if you're the Yankees or the Mets, to find out if a potential free agent is vaccinated or unvaccinated?
I don't know. I've been told by people that is not covered under HIPAA law. I mean, you could just ask the guy. I mean, if you're negotiating, and the other team, I'm sure the team knows. I don't think it falls under the HIPAA laws.
Okay.
And
obviously, if you like, I don't want to throw out any names because they get attached and people misunderstand and they have here. you know, if the Yankees and Mets want a potential free agent and they ask that guy, are you vaccinated? And he's like, I don't want to tell you. Then you have to go into the assumption that he's not vaccinated, and it might affect you acquiring the guy. Because why would I want to pay a bunch of money for a player that might not be available to me this year?
You know, somebody in the business just texted me something also to think of. Yeah, the clock is ticking, all right? You get one shot, then you wait 3 weeks. Opening day is slightly more than 3 weeks away. You have to be double vaccinated. That's just one shot.
That's right.
So if you don't get vaccinated today and they don't throw this rule out, you're not playing opening day.
Well, that's what we have to find out, Michael, with the mandate, because there's a lot of mandates that if you have gotten your first shot, you're then allowed in. Like, do we know you have to be fully vaccinated in order to play?
I think it's at least two vaccinations.
All right. Well, then opening day's done. If you're not vaccinated, what's today? The 15th? Opening day's the 7th? So that's what? 22 days. So I guess if they got vaccinated today or tomorrow, they could get their last shot on opening day itself and be eligible to play. Am I doing the math right? How many days are in March?
31.
All right, so that buys them an extra day. So today's the 15th. That's 16 plus 7. So 23 days. We're 23 days away from opening day. So it gives them a couple of days to get it done. The clock is ticking. Don't wait too long.
It's a very, very difficult call for someone who is really, truly opposed to getting this vaccine. And I've said that there's an aura of selfishness to Kyrie not doing it, because it's not as if he thinks the vaccine is harmful. He just doesn't believe in the mandate and being told what to do. And all the while, he's leaving his team out to dry. And all these Yankees and the Mets, you can't say, oh, it's all about the team for me. And then you're potentially not going to play 90 games of the season? 90. Again, is it a medical issue? Because from what I heard about Rizzo from last year, it was because he had battled cancer that he didn't get the vaccine. Now, I don't know if there's a medical exemption or whatnot. I'm not sure. So I don't want to guess out loud here. I'm not a doctor, but this throws everything into flux. It really does. I never even thought an outdoor venue would be a big deal. But I guess they're looking at it and they've got to get dressed indoors.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about the dugout sitting close to each other? I mean, the dugout still, I think, is technically outdoors, but you're right. You've got to go in, dress.
It's confirmed outdoors. It's way more outdoors than the outdoor seating they have at restaurants.
That is so true.
And really, think about it, though. None of the New York City venues require vaccination cards, so you're going to be sitting cheek by jowl in the ballpark if you're a fan. That's okay. You can be sitting next to somebody who's not vaccinated, so... Listen, I'm pro-vaccination, but the rules are dumb at this point. They're just dumb. Outdoor venues now, it doesn't make sense. Outdoor venues, it doesn't make sense.
And how did this all go down, Michael? With the outgoing mayor, de Blasio, threw that in?
That's what I heard on December 27th.
So how does it not get revisited by the new mayor that comes in? I mean, really, listen, I understand, and I've been big on this, that even with baseball, Michael, there's so many more important things for the mayor to have to deal with. But looking over a mandate and seeing if it's fair, especially now that it affects three teams in the metro, in New York City, that you could really start thinking about how it could affect the economy and all that too. So I would think it would be worth a glance. 5 minutes. Is this fair? No, it's not. Let's change it. He has to have the power to do that, or at least talk to the person that has the power to do it.
Now, Patrick Hart on Twitter just said, as per my teacher union, asking about vax status does not violate HIPAA laws.
Okay.
Mm.
We should ask him how he would feel if they were to waive the mandate.
Well, we're asking him, so he's obviously listening.
And it wasn't waived by the teachers union, for the teachers union.
These HIPAA laws are really something.
Very HIPAA. Convenient sometimes.
It's HIPAA laws?
HIPAA, yeah.
Oh, not HIPAA.
Oh, but I understand why they're in place, because there are certain privacies that I can understand. But sometimes, Peter, they are, it's very convenient to throw out, you know, HIPAA laws.
Well, people just say something. I like to say about anything. I just loosely throw out when people ask me a question, I don't know the answer. But, I throw HIPAA laws.
But when it affects a lot of people besides yourself, like somebody asking me a personal question about my medical history, it's none of your business. But if it affects 23 other people or 15 other people on my team, and kind of affects a huge fan base and affects a lot of money going back and forth over something as simple as just revealing your medical history. Sometimes I think it's conveniently thrown out there. Like we see I think Gase in Miami, remember? Like wouldn't tell us the status of his quarterback because of HIPAA laws. Come on, really? They printed a paper, for God's sakes.
Yeah, you could tell us the status of the quarterback. You can't tell us what the injury is if they don't want it to be done. Now, also, for those that are just thinking it's a fait accompli that these restrictions are going to be lifted, take a look at the COVID positivity rates today in New York City. They went up. They haven't gone up in a long time, so they went up. So you think that it's just a slam dunk that they're going to remove these? No, I don't.
And you see what's happening in China? They're in lockdown now. So, and listen, the mayor, Michael, has put these put the in place where we're at low now, and like the different scales of where the city is. So we're in a really good place right now. But what if we get to September and now we go back to high again? Like, so then the mandates come. So you're pulling players off the field. Like, it's very fluid, obviously. But to Peter's point, if it's at the lowest it's been, you know, since the pandemic started, and you're not changing it, the only place we can go now is up.
Right,
so
and it went up.
If you're
today.
Not changing it now, and if you just said it kind of went up in New York, and it continues to go up through the month of March, remember 2 years ago where we were, you know, so it doesn't necessarily have to do with the time of year, is, you know, how is it going to change then?
And if you take Aaron Judge by not answering about the vaccine as if he's not vaccinated, do you realize how much money he has to lose?
Yeah,
because he would not get service time, and that he would not be a free agent. So then you're making him older again. Remember, the fact that he's old is something that stands in the way. Well, would he get an 8-year contract, whatever the case may be? Well, then he would be 31 when he becomes a free agent if he actually doesn't get the time accrued. I mean, that would be an unbelievable. I would give him. I'd have to stand back and show some kind of level of awe that he would do that. I mean, it's not like he would be getting poison injected into him. I mean, millions and millions of people around the globe have gotten this vaccine and lived to tell about it, and he would be giving up potentially hundreds of millions of dollars if, in fact, he's not vaccinated and chooses to remain so.
Hey, listen, when you said a lot can change, you know, one of the things that can change is his opinion on whether he gets vaccinated or not. So it's still very fluid for him, too. We took it as, well, maybe the mandates change between now and opening day. Maybe he changes his mind. If he finds out within the next 3 days, oh, by the way, if you don't get your cycle started here, you know, by Friday, you're not going to be available for opening day, that might change his mind.
Wow. What a story today. It's shocking. It was kind of snuck in there because we just figured it just applied to Kyrie Irving and indoor, and we thought that was a ridiculous rule. And I'm sure that baseball teams that do not have vaccinated players, those players will be able to play at Yankee Stadium and at Citi Field. Is that fair?
And if it's just about, well, you've got a dress in the clubhouse and that's indoors, well, can't you come up with something where a player could play but then dress someplace else or dress separately from the rest of the team or just go home in his uniform?
But how dumb is that, though, Dom? Because Kyrie's allowed to practice with the Nets every single day. He dresses in their locker room, showers in their locker room. But once the game comes, that's when COVID comes out to play? None of it makes sense.
I get it, but right. No, that's so. I'm just talking about from the baseball standpoint. If their feeling is, well, yeah, they play outside, but they dress and they speak to the media and they have their team meetings inside. Well, rather than just blanketly saying, well, that person's not allowed to play, can't you find another way to where he doesn't have to be inside? Maybe he doesn't talk to the media. Maybe he does. Maybe he attends the meeting virtually. Go home and shower. Go back to the hotel and shower. Yeah, have a separate bus for the players that are vaccinated as opposed to unvaccinated. There's so many ways around it rather than saying you can't play.
And some of these rules are so – listen to this, guys. I mean, we're all thrilled as the media to be allowed back in the clubhouse in baseball, right? But the rule is that you have to be vaxxed and you must be boosted. in order to get in. But once the media gets in, we have to wear a mask. While there are players in the clubhouse that aren't vaccinated, they don't have to wear a mask. So what are we doing? As Don would say, we're playing with our Tonka trucks. What are we doing here? So the verminous media has to wear masks, but players that are unvaccinated, they don't. How does that make sense? And the media, if you're unvaccinated and you're the media, you can't get in. I totally buy it. Totally get it. It's not essential that you're in there. But if you're vaccinated and boosted, you still must wear a mask, but the unvaccinated players could walk around without it. Okay, I'll play along.
Because they don't care if we get it. They only care if the players get it. Right?
But if they don't care that we get, then let us not wear the mask. We're the ones that are vaccinated.
Yeah, but you could still, I guess you could still have it and spread it if you're vaccinated.
Okay,
but if you wear
so
the
if
mask, that's protecting.
But along that line, right? If they're unvaccinated players in the Met and the Yankee clubhouse, they could spread it to the other teammates. That's okay that they could spread it, but the media who vaccinated, they must wear a mask. Does that make sense?
It is. It's a little crazy. And again, I understand the spirit of all these things. Anything to try to make people as safe as humanly possible. But, you know, logic's got to step in too sometimes, right? I mean, it's like Peter said, that the outdoor dining stuff, which really kept these restaurants alive and was really a great idea. But the huts that they put on the street are basically indoors.
Correct. Well, now they're a disaster, by the way. Then it just became like more seating for restaurants who just got excited about having more seating, which I understand. But now they take up every parking spot, and people complain about the rats because of it. It's kind of become a disaster.
Well, narrows the streets and creates traffic. There's a lot that goes in. But I was all for whatever kept the restaurants open, right?
Of course.
Because I got it. I get it. But, oh, God.
All right, let's take a brief time out. What are your thoughts on this? Is it just as simple as getting the vaccine? Or is it as simple as the city lifting a mandate that at this point doesn't quite make sense? Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Marley Rivera, our good friend, just tweeted out. Just tweet out, MLB players continue to be encouraged to get vaccinated, and a large percentage of previously unvaccinated players have done so, though, quote, a significant number remain unvaccinated, sources tell ESPN. So there you go. Let's go back to Tom Brady retiring. So Tom Brady Sr., was this on Greeny, or did they?
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
He was on Greeny. So Tom Brady Sr., Tom's dad, spoke about why his son retired initially.
What happened 8 weeks ago was a bunch of people reported that he was retiring, and he, you know, before he was ready. I mean, right after they lost, these losses are painful. You don't just roll over and get up and get going. It's painful at the end of the year, putting 6 months in and all of the heartbreak and all of the joy, but it's hard and it's emotionally wrenching. And lo and behold, it's like your car is out of gas, and then somebody asks you a question, and then everybody's telling everybody that they know what they were doing. I mean, they were announcing his retirement before he even retired, and the media made the news. He was not ready to make any decision, and didn't make any decision, but Schefter and Darlington stated it as fact, and you know, he hadn't made any decision on that. So lo and behold, after he had time to reflect with his family, and you know, what gives him the greatest joy in his life, and they all agreed that this is the path forward that works best for the Brady family.
Now, in all due respect to Mr. Brady Sr., what a steaming pile of poo. Tom Brady, who has the greatest steely resolve of any athlete I've ever seen, got pushed into retirement by Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington. What trash! I mean, you're trying to cover up for the fact that the guy changed his mind. Don't say that they forced him into retirement. I've never heard something more ridiculous in my life. It's sickening that he would come up with that.
Because, again, I'm going to stick with my theory, Michael. You get credit. You predicted this was going to happen. All right? So, my theory all along, it was Giselle. Now, I'm not criticizing her. She wanted her husband back. All right? And I think what Tom's doing, what I think Mr. Brady's doing is protecting Giselle, because I don't want nobody wants her to be the villain for having this opinion. The logical thing would be, all right, he was thinking about, there was something that came up at the end of a conversation from that show that he did on ESPN, right? And now it gets out. Schefter talks about it. It starts to build momentum. And then Tom's like, can you believe this? The media's got me retired already. And Giselle goes, boy, it really would be nice if you did. And then I think that's probably how the conversation ended up getting started. Maybe the media and that whole story kind of drove Giselle to finally say, I really wish you wouldn't play. Because why would a guy that his heart beats for football have a report come out and force him to do anything? He's Tom Brady. Give me a break already. Stop. I know the media is awful and they're evil and they're Satan. They're not going to be able to make Tom Brady retire.
Also, you're saying that the, you know, in Tom Brady Sr.'s words, you know, he's putting either the chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken. Schefter and Darlington did not report something out of thin air. They were told by somebody that Tom Brady was going to retire. And then he made it official a couple of days afterward. They didn't force him into retiring. That is such garbage. That's terrible. I mean, Tom Brady has lived his life and his career almost in a spotless way. And then to have this, to like make an excuse for why, you can change your mind, Tom. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. But to say that Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter forced you into retirement, it's laughable. It shows you how weak the guy is, if that's the case. He's not weak at all.
No, he's not weak at all, and he doesn't want to give it up. Now, there's a lot of truth, because Wickersham said the same thing, that was an awful loss to the Rams. It probably was debilitating to him that it wasn't even his fault. His last pass is a touchdown. His defense betrays him. Instead of taking another run at a Super Bowl, his season comes to an early end. All right, and it was probably very frustrated. And maybe it did kind of come up in conversation, do I want to go through this again? But to think that the media would – Michael, he would be able to stand up and tweet the very next day, these guys don't know what they're talking about. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sticking with this. I'm going to continue to play. I said I wanted to play it until I was 45.
Also, Don, by what Senior is saying there, he's suggesting that two great reporters, Schefter and Darlington, made this up out of thin air.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's so
objectionable.
That's the worst part. Because these are not, this is not Jabroni Pumpleduck and Peter Rosenberg, okay? We're talking about two guys who have been in and right on Brady and on everything. So it's just a very weird, to me, it's like, it's a congratulations you played yourself, because they stepped out to, Brady's dad stepped out to try to make this better. It only makes it worse.
Oh, it makes Brady look so weak. Oh, he was forced into retiring by mean old Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington, who made this story up. Come on.
It's very silly. No one wants to ever just own their stuff. Like, and by the way, this is where Brady becomes annoying, because what we love about Brady is the guy he is on the field. Say what you want about Aaron Rodgers. We may not like the things he has to say, but he tells us who he is. He has a personality. We may not like it, but the truth is he's a human being who gives feelings. Some people find him likable. Some people now hate his guts. Tom Brady is a robot. He gives you nothing. All this takes is one normal interview on either the show he has with Jim Gray, his own podcast, whatever it is. Sit down, tell us what happened, and move forward.
Yeah, and even if that's what happened was, hey, I just changed my mind. I was dead wrong. I thought was done. 40 days later, you know what? I ended up being wrong. Well, he can't. It's always got to be somebody else's fault. You just can't say, sorry, I just changed my mind, all right? Why does it always have to be Darling's fault, Schefter's fault, the fans' fault? Come on. It just own it. Peter's right. Listen, I do not agree with almost everything Aaron Rodgers stands for, all right? But you know what he is, and he's a great football player, and that's it. You know, and you can like him, but Tom just seems to go out of his way sometimes to just not own.
I mean, do you guys,
what's going on?
Do you guys remember the nonsense of the, you know, without going into all the details of it, but with him and Trump and the hat and the he tries to do these things where he gives people information but doesn't ever want to fully give it. He can't, like. It's just strange to me that for a guy who seems so cool, he's very uncomfortable just having a normal conversation. Like, if you were to look around at the biggest athletes in sports besides Brady, you know, you look at, like, someone like a LeBron James or a Steph Curry, they're capable of having a conversation. He just, like, doesn't talk.
And also, Daddy didn't go rogue there.
Probably not.
No.
Although Daddy does go rogue sometimes.
But this is just ridiculous. And if I was Adam Schefter and Jeff Dorn, I'd be red hot. Red hot. They got that information from somebody in Brady's camp. Brady was going to retire. And then it became official after they didn't force him into retiring. Wow. And the fact that it's being suggested, Tom Brady Sr. should be ashamed of himself for that if he went rogue. And Tom Brady should be ashamed of himself if he allowed his father to say it.
Hey, listen, I don't know if Tom made him go on the air, but I'm sure whatever was said by Dad is the sentiment of Tom.
He's not going that rogue. No, he can't. Tom probably talked about it somewhere, and Dad was listening, and they forced me into it. Nobody forced him into doing anything. Stop it. He wanted to retire. Changed his mind. He's allowed to change his mind. It's his life. You only get one of them. We'll be back on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The NCAA tournament starts tonight. At 6:40, we have Texas A&M Corpus Christi against Texas Southern. You can throw the records out when those two teams meet.
So there is a Texas A&M Corpus Christi. So it's not Texas A&M.
Right.
All right. That's like Rutgers Newark.
Right. And then you have Indiana University against Wyoming. That's at 9:10. Both of those are on a channel you can't find on your TV system, True TV.
Well,
and also love the abbreviations because I got to tell you what, I had to ask Andrew and Anthony. The abbreviations for the Texas A&M Corpus Christi and Texas Southern is on the ESPN top line. AMCC, which I thought was a movie theater I go to, against TXSO. I had no idea. None. Zero.
Wow. That is crazy.
Is it so? Honestly, Matt, are these games necessary?
Honest, can I tell you the truth? So, I admit the tournament has not meant the same to me the last 2 years. On account of Maryland being so bad, the pandemic, whatever, just hasn't been my favorite tournament times ever. But in general, I love, love, love March Madness. Always, always at the top of my sports calendar. Don, I have almost never cared about a play-in. Like, I know it matters if you're a team that makes the play-in, but it's such a soft way to start a huge event.
That's the thing that bothers me.
It's
about
a soft opening.
And it's also a sport where, you know, none of these teams are going to make a run, right? Because usually, and it's the same in the NBA with the play-in, but at least you got some teams that will get a rating. Are these games going to get a rating? Are people clamoring to watch these games, or do they really look at Thursday as where it all begins?
I'm sure they're paid for them, though. So that's what it comes down to.
So that's all that it is. It's created a couple of days to be able to make a little bit more money. But honestly, is anybody really excited? Or do they
I mean, people will be excited tomorrow. It's Notre Dame and Rutgers. That's a big two followings. And then Bryant against Wright State.
I'm not saying that anybody that's a fan of these teams or went to these schools shouldn't be excited. I mean, I'm rooting for Rutgers. I'm going to watch that game tomorrow. You know, and Notre Dame isn't nobody. I'm just saying, for overall, is it really moving the needle enough that we've got to have these, or just everybody looks at Thursday as, all right, let's get the tournament started.
It's a soft opening.
Yeah, it's about money. Now, I assume both of you guys like this.
Don't assume anything about me.
The Senate unanimously passed a bill to make daylight saving time permanent.
Holy crap.
I never know. What does that mean? We don't change it anymore?
It won't be that, okay, turn back the clocks tonight, jump ahead tonight. It won't be none of that. It'll stay the same.
So where we're in right now will be forever.
Yes.
We're not going to go back.
Right.
I'm not ready to commit to this.
I love it.
Now, William writes,
this is a step to get me getting what I want.
That's right.
Right. Universal time. William tweeted, be careful about saying none of the teams in the play-ins make a run. UCLA went to the Final Four last year after playing in.
Well, that would then be a bad call. But by the way, UCLA, shouldn't have been in the play-in.
I didn't know that.
Okay, just to be fair, though, what was UCLA?
And BCU did as well.
What was UCLA's record last year? Because now there's always, like, a major team that plays in the playing games, and I always find it ridiculous. Like, don't you think it should all be outright jabronis playing each other in these games?
You mean Jabroni Pumpleduck U?
Well,
Jabroni Andrew, Pumpleduck.
What are the numbers? What are the seeds of the winners? Are they all? They're not.
No.
Are they all 16s?
There's two 16s and 11 and a 12.
And 11 and a 12. And it's always the 11 or the 12 that's a VCU or a UCLA, and they end up doing something.
Right. It can happen. Indiana's been playing great, but I don't think they have the talent to go all the way. Well, you never know. But this is about money. I mean, everything is always about money. Speaking of money, I don't know who saw this. I admit it yesterday. I wanted the Yankees to get Matt Olson. I think he'd have been a perfect fit. The Braves gave up a ton of young talent. They gave up the first, second, sixth, and 14th best prospects in their system, which if it was the Yankees, Don and Peter – would have been Volpe, Dominguez, Austin Wells, their catcher, and a pitcher by the name of Brendan Beck. So it would have been four of their top prospects. They decided not to do it. But here's the kicker that shocked me today. When I saw this, I couldn't believe it.
It shook you to your core.
It really did. Matt Olson, who is a hell of a player, signed an 8-year extension today with the Braves for $168 million. They got Matt Olson for $21 million a year. It's robbery. I can't believe the kid signed for that. Now, hey, he's got $168 guaranteed million dollars. He's playing back home, born in Atlanta, Georgia. I get it. But with his talent and the way he hits and the way he fields, he had two more years of arbitration left, which I believe in the second year he probably would have gotten over $20 million. And then you sign the long-term deal, you're going to get $30 million a year. But the Braves, for some reason, they have this magic about them. Look at the contract that Ronald Acuna Jr. is playing under. Look at what what Albie signed for. And now look at what Olson signed for. They're putting together a team that's going to be good for a long time for a lot less than the price that they would get on the open market.
But that's where he wants to be. And I don't know who his agent is, Michael, but I'm sure his agent probably, we can get a lot more money, but good for him. He's where he wants to be. That's a ton of money over 8 years. You know, it doesn't always have to be about the money. We're just talking about the NCAA. I get it. But so for some of these players, if it's the team you want to play for and you're going to be comfortable for almost the next decade, as opposed to going someplace that maybe you're not 100% sure of, but to get a lot more money? I mean, Atlanta's a nice place to play, right? That area is very nice. It's great for a single guy. It's great for a family guy. The Braves seem to be competitive every single year. And if he's comfortable, then good for him.
It's so funny, though. People are reacting. Well, they offered more total money than they offered Freddie Freeman. Well, wait a minute. Matt Olson's 4 years younger. Freeman wanted that money over 6 years. Olson has it over eight. You have Matt Olson now signed until he's 35 years old, and the Braves don't like to extend anybody past 36, which is one of the reasons they balked at giving Freeman that 6 years. So this works perfectly for them. They have a homegrown kid. Yeah, they lost a face of the franchise, but this guy is great-looking, great hitter, great home run hitter, and also an outstanding defender, and you get him for $21 million a year? $21 million. Francisco Lindor makes $34 million a year. Great, great job by the Braves. I know they gave up a lot of talent, but now they lock this guy up at a reasonable rates, more than reasonable, cheap rates. We'll come back. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
So Tom Brady Sr. on Greeny spoke about why his son retired initially.
What happened 8 weeks ago was a bunch of people reported that he was retiring, and before he was ready. The media made the news. He was not ready to make any decision, and didn't make any decision, but Schefter and Darlington stated it as fact.
In all due respect to Mr. Brady Sr., what a steaming pile of poo. Tom Brady, who has the greatest steely resolve of any athlete I've ever seen, got pushed into retirement by Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington. What trash!
The Michael Kay Show.
You idiot.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, what a show so far, everybody. What a show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't argue with it, right?
No, why would you?
No, why would you? Now, we didn't even get a chance yesterday, right? We didn't get a chance yesterday. But very quietly, Joey Douglas, is having himself a nice free agent situation because C.J. Ozama is really good. That was a great pickup by the Jets. I love it. And they've also gotten some offensive line help, so they don't have to use their draft pick to draft an offensive lineman. Quietly doing a good job. I don't know if you guys agree.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. They got depth at tight end now. And this is what you hope for both the Jets and the Giants, right? They're not going to be championship caliber teams next year, but you want to start building. I've been begging the Giants to do this for years. They're finally doing it. They finally have given up this pipe dream of getting another championship out of Eli or squeezing another playoff run for Daniel Jones. You know, reconstructing this offensive line. They signed a couple of offensive linemen last night. You know, Jets bringing back Berrios, who was one of their best offensive weapons last year. They both are going to work and constructing a roster that you hope eventually is going to turn into, a team that can go out there and win 9-10 games and compete for a playoff spot.
Quickly about hockey.
Yes.
Why are they starting Gorgiev today?
No, I just found out about it myself. Probably because they've got the Islanders tomorrow, so you know you're going to start Igor Shesterkin against the Islanders. Rivalry game at Madison Square Garden, and then you've got back-to-back games in Tampa, in Carolina, defending Stanley Cup champions in Tampa, a team you've already beaten twice, and Carolina, a team that's in first place in your division. This, I think, opens the door for Shesterkin to play in all three of those games, including the back-to-backs.
It's so funny. He's so good. You want him to play all the time, but I guess you can't.
No,
unless you're Martin Brodeur.
And there's no or Grant Fuhrer, there's no breaks anymore, Michael. You're basically playing every other day. And you've got a lot of really good teams down the stretch. You got three games left with Carolina, three games left against Pittsburgh, all right? Three more games against Washington, all really good teams in your division. So you're going to see Shesterkin a lot.
Shesterkin?
So you've got a Ducks team that has only won, three of their last 10. It's a team you've beaten six straight times here at the Garden. So give Georgiev a chance. And the other thing that helps, because Georgiev came in when Shesterkin was pulled the other night. So now he gets a chance to make three appearances in a little over a week. That if you do need him, you know, he's at least gotten some work. But I don't hold me to this, but I think this does open the door for Shesterkin to play both in Tampa and Carolina.
Brooklyn and Orlando tonight, and so the game's in Orlando. That means Kyrie will play alongside Kevin Durant. Still no Ben Simmons. Now, Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, has
weighed in.
Yeah, he's weighed in. Yeah. Let Kyrie Irving play. If Brooklyn won't let Kyrie play, I'm going to make a pitch to you directly. Kyrie, come to Houston. Play for the Rockets. We'll let you play. He's a hell of a player. Uncle Drew's being benched by asinine Democratic theater. This is stupid. So Ted Cruz.
Weighing in.
Not sticking to politics, going into sports.
I will say I appreciate him saying Uncle Drew. I wouldn't have known he'd be an Uncle Drew guy.
I'm going to do something I rarely do.
You're going to tip your hand?
No, I'm going to go the other way. I'm good. I'm going to lay out.
Really?
You're going to lay out on this?
Well, because it's a choice of one or two things.
Yep.
Go on a screaming rant for 20 minutes or lay
out.
I
like that.
don't even get – honestly, if you allow me to start the sentence – I would not be able to stop.
No, you better not then. You better not. Because I care more about you as a person than getting great ratings. You're more important because you'll scream yourself off this show.
And I don't want to
do DeSantis.
That.
Ron DeSantis.
I call him Sam Durantis, but go ahead.
And then you scream off the show. You get fired. Then I quit because that's always been my mantra. And then Peter's the last man standing.
And that wouldn't that be ironic?
Yeah, it would.
If it's a political conversation ends the hosts on the show and I'm the one left standing.
A little too ironic. I really do.
Don't you think? Yeah. So it would not to play PD, but you probably figure it would be Peter and Carlin.
Until, you mean the show they'll put together?
Right, until they find a football player.
Let's go with Don.
No, I think what they do, I think they would move Dave with Peter. Then it'd be the Berg Show, and then they move Carlin with DiPietro.
That's you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Big news, jazz hands.
Now Dave and Rick are in their groove, though.
I know.
You know, so you don't want to disrupt. See, you're already disrupting the afternoon drive show because of
the firings.
that I'm really, but it's like. There's a stake waving in front of me. I mean, I have 20 minutes right now. I could start at any moment, but I'm gonna sit back. As long as I don't do that, you've already disrupted the afternoon. You don't want to disrupt the morning. So, you already got Carlin, who hardly works. Bring him in. And when I say hardly works, because there's always games on, right? Like tonight, he's not going to be on. Get him with Peter. There's already chemistry there, right? I think that's where you go.
It would be incredibly ironic for Peter to be the last man standing in something over politics. Well, it's just amazing how life works.
But also, Michael's collateral damage because he would quit because I got fired.
Because of you, right.
But I do believe after my rant, Peter would have something to say that could also get him in trouble.
No, Peter sees the prize.
Maybe I go, Don said it all. There's nothing to be said.
Right. Tell me how I can renegotiate.
But honestly, if that got me fired, then shouldn't you also get fired if you say ditto?
No, he just said Don said it all. He didn't say he agreed.
I said Don would say it all.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so the big story today, obviously, a mandate that was put into effect on December 27th in the last days of de Blasio's term says that, you know, you can't, if you're unvaccinated, it's called private sector, you cannot work. Doesn't matter if it's an outdoor stadium or not. You know, I've been texting a lot of people during the show, and the general feeling is that it's going to be lifted by opening day. But I think that's a gamble. I really do. And, you know, one person that said that to me, I said, are they giving the 1,400 people that lost their jobs back? And that person said, they should. I said, well, what they should and what they will do is different because a lot of those jobs are filled. They've hired other people. So if you fired people that actually they need those jobs to pay the rent and put food on the table, and now you're going to give millionaires the opportunity to play and make more. That's why Adams is really wrestling with this.
And Here's the interesting thing about the Mets and the Yankees joining the party, and more importantly, their fan bases. They're not going to go quietly into that good night. There'll be protests outside Yankee Stadium and Citi Field if their favorite players aren't allowed to play. You don't think there'll be an outcry? So, again, there was an outcry with Kyrie, but nothing that really moved the needle. But you're talking about the New York Yankees, the Mets. You know, they got millions of fans around the tri-state area, Michael. You think they're going to be quiet? You don't think that there will be protests? Now, who knows? Maybe it's still not enough to move the needle as far as everything that's on Adam's plate right now. But this is interesting. You know, you're talking about a net player as opposed to, you know, Michael, I don't want to mention any names, but the fact that we're even speculating about Aaron Judge, he's one of the biggest athletes in New York.
In the country.
And playing for the most popular team in the area, if not the entire country. So, again, not to take anything from Kyrie, you can make the case that Kyrie is a much better basketball player than Aaron Judge is a baseball player. That certainly is debatable. But as far as name recognition, the team he plays for, the sheer number of fans that root for him, it's not a blip on the radar screen anymore. It would be a significantly loud noise that would be made. Would it be enough to get Adams to do what he didn't do for Kyrie?
You know, Don said something just, it's ironic, Peter. He said it would move the needle. Well, if these guys would move the needle into their arms, this would not be an issue.
Ayo!
Wouldn't be at all. Now, the NJ.com is reporting that there are two Yankees that are unvaccinated. So a couple that were unvaccinated last year certainly got vaccinated during the offseason. I'm not going to guess who those two are. It's not my business. But we'll find out on opening day if the mandate's still there.
But
the people that don't take the field.
Is this the game we're now signing up for?
What do you mean?
Vaccine watch? Are we going to be like who?
No, I don't. I don't.
Not us. But is that going to become the public fodder?
Yeah, it is because it's about winning and losing here. Forget about any vaccine mandate. You know, if these are two big players on the and supposedly there are more Mets that are unvaccinated than there are Yankees, so that becomes a really big issue. Because then you're going to not allowing Kyrie to play is costing the Nets their chance at a championship, in my opinion. If he's not back by the time the playoffs start, they will not win a championship. If he's back, they have a pretty good chance. But if you take significant players off a baseball team and they can't play, in the Mets case, for 81 games, and for the Yankees case, well, Mets case, 84 games, the three at Yankee Stadium, and the Yankees, 93 games, because 9 games in Toronto, and then 3 games against the Mets at Citi, the Yankees and the Mets won't win. They just can't.
And, I don't want to make any bold predictions here, Michael, but you do hear reports that there's a lot more vaccinated now than were at the end of last baseball season.
Yeah.
Like, so there were a lot of players during the offseason. Maybe they got scared by the Omicron spike where it seemed like everybody was getting it, and maybe that got them to do it. I would think with everything that you're risking, I don't know if there's a Kyrie here, Michael. I think it's a lot of guys that don't want to do it, but if they're faced with giving up service time, giving up millions of dollars, really hurting their team's chances of competing, even if they are under contract beyond this year, I think you will see the majority, if not all those players, get vaccinated and play.
Now the both teams are going to have to work behind the scenes to find out for sure, is this going to be lifted by opening day? Now, if they find out that it's not, and people in the government tell the Yankees and the Mets, this is going to stay the whole year, I'm going to say something that's going to tick a lot of people off. Anybody on these teams that are not vaccinated, you've got to trade them because they could play in other cities. You cannot have an important player not be able to play for 93 games. And in the Mets' case, 84 games. You simply can't. You must trade those players. Well, you can't give away a season. You can't sit back and go, oh, player X doesn't want to get vaccinated, so we'll just allow him. I mean, if it wasn't for Kevin Durant, let's be honest. If it wasn't for Kevin Durant, you don't think that the Nets would have traded Kyrie Irving? Come on. That's the only play here.
Yeah. But there's another thing at play here, Michael, and that is the fact that outside of the little – I shouldn't say little. It was more than double, but it's still only a little over 3%. There was a spike recently over the last 7 days in New York. We don't know if that's going to amount to anything, if it was just a blip or whether there could be another spike. The mayor has made it clear that mandates will be put back in place if we have another spike. So even if he waives the mandate, Michael, what happens if come September, God forbid, there's another spike, bang, puts the mandate back on the table, and those unvaccinated players get pulled off the field again? That's always a possibility, too. So even if it's going to be lifted, you have to find out, could this be one of the mandates to get put back in place if there's another spike? So you really have to have the dialogue. And what if Adam says, well, listen, everything's up for grabs. Right now I'll lift the mandate, but I'm open to putting it back in if there's another spike. Can you afford to have those unvaccinated players on your team come September and you're in a race for the pennant and you lose two of your starters because he put the mandate back in place?
You know, unfortunately, or fortunately, because their teams are worth more because they play in the greatest city in the world, the Yankees and the Mets have to deal with this. And again, I want to make this clear. The Nets would have traded Kyrie amidst all this nonsense if they wouldn't have lost Kevin Durant in turn. And that's the reason that James Harden, one of the reasons he wanted to get out. He knew what was going on, and Kyrie refused to get vaccinated. Well, the Yankees and the Mets see what has affected the Nets. And I don't think there's anybody on either team that another great player would leave if you traded that those players that are unvaccinated. They have to be traded if this is going to be an all-year thing. They cannot be kept on the roster and sink the team. This is a team concept. And yeah. I'm saying that those players that are unvaccinated, they have every right not to be vaccinated. But those teams also have every right to try to win. And if they want to win, they've got to trade those players. They have to, no matter how good the players are.
And you have to be careful with this. Like, Peter, you remember, I was saying, I think you agreed, that when this whole thing started with Kyrie, we figured at some point they'll lift the mandate.
I thought by now. The truth is, if it were to happen sometime between now and mid-April, I would say that still would fit into generally what my timeline would have been. It feels more egregious now, though, because let's just be honest, guys. Life over the last few weeks, and we'll find out, God willing, this will all be a good decision. Life has really started to change and feel like people are living somewhat normally again. So, I mean, literally in my building, which has a lot of old people, and they've been very slow about every step, they remove masks from the workers and residents in my building. Like, it very much feels like things are back, so it feels so glaring at this point. But the timeline isn't that different necessarily than I thought it would have been.
Right, but you still have to be careful. Again, how do you explain this spike that we had over the last 7 days in New York?
And then you read these horrifying stories about China's in lockdown again.
And that's supposed to be, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, the other variant of Omicron.
Right.
So if that's something that's on its way here, in a few months we get another. And so that's the thing, is that even if you lift the mandate, who's to say that mandate's not going to get put back in place again?
Oh, that's
so
true.
You really think that if Randy Levine calls up Mayor Adams today, that Adams could tell him anything concrete moving forward other than, hey, we'll take a look at it, we might lift it, but I can't guarantee you I'm not going to put it back in place in a couple of months? Like, is there any way Adams can go from he doesn't want to get rid of it to a negotiation, Randy, as good as Randy is, to concrete, you don't have to worry about the mandates gone forever? How could Adam say that? How could any of us say that?
That's why Brian Cashman and Billy Epler have to call the unvaccinated. They know, we don't. I mean, we could guess after some, after some comments today, they have to call the unvaccinated players into their office and say, we love you, we want you here, you have the right not to be vaccinated. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're unvaccinated, I have to trade you. You make the choice. If you want to play with the Yankees or you want to play with the Mets, you got to get vaccinated. Otherwise, I have to trade you. I'm trying to win a pennant. I can't have an important player not available to me.
Right.
And forget about the mandates, too. Do the Yankees want to go to Toronto and not have some of their best players for 9 games against a team that's going to be a real threat to you?
And Michael, the players aren't stupid. I mean, it would be smart for the player to say, yes, trade me.
Right.
Because if you're a player that's going to miss half his season, have his salary cut in half, and if you're a free agent at the end of the year, have your service time taken away, wouldn't you almost be begging the Yankees or Mets to trade you?
Unless you really want to be a Yankee.
Yeah, but at what expense? First of all, like, if you're a free agent at the end of the year, there's a fighting chance that maybe you may not come back, especially under this situation. If the mandate lasts the entire year, Michael, how would you bring that free agent back if the mandate's still in place? And then you're going to miss half your salary, only play for the Yankees. I guess we had a discrepancy that the Mets or Yankees play 6 games or 4 games. Either way, it's 92 or 93 games. You're going to miss that many games. How? Listen, I'd love to be a Met. I grew up as a Met fan, but if I'm a professional baseball player and I do not want to get vaccinated, am I going to not play in 93 games, lose half my salary in service time? Or am I going to say, send me someplace where I can play 162 and get my money?
And if any of these players that are unvaccinated are going to be free agents at the end of 2022, if they hold firm and they don't get vaccinated, you know what? They're not going to be free agents. You need the service time in order to become a free agent. So forget about losing the money this year. You're losing more money next year and the year after because you're getting older. It's a tough decision. Listen, Kyrie Irving has put his money where his mouth is. He's lost $17 million in salary. But he's still got another year on his contract, and if he becomes a free agent, he'll get his money. It's a tough decision for a person who's dead set against – and believe me, everybody out there, you have the right not to get the vaccine. But private business has the right to tell you you either get it or you're gone. It's private business. Now, baseball can't force it through that everybody must get the vaccine because the union wouldn't rightfully allow it. But once the city comes in and says you can't play here, and you might have to sit out 92 or 93 games if you're one of the Yankees' unvaccinated players, what are the Yankees going to do? Sit back and let it happen? You got to be proactive because it's not like these guys are untradeable. They're very tradable because they could play everywhere else, not in New York and not in Canada. So you eliminate the Blue Jays, you eliminate trading them to either the Yankees or the Mets, and you have 27 other teams that would definitely want these players.
And you're probably not going to want to trade them in the division anyway. So, yeah, there's plenty of options, especially if they're really good players. Now, the teams will approach the players first because it's going to be baseball that's going to be talking to Adams about the mandate. But I would think a lot of these players would go to the team, say, if I'm not going to play in half the games and losing service time, please trade me.
I don't think
there's going to be a player there. I don't think there'll be a baseball version of Kyrie. They'll either get the vaccination or get traded to a team that allows them to play. I don't think we'll have a baseball Kyrie. Do you?
I don't think the teams would allow it because Kyrie's a special situation, Don, because you can't trade him because of Kevin.
Right. Right.
But if they could have traded him, they would have.
I don't think that there is going to be a team. There won't be a team that's going to say, I'm going to have a guy on my team that's not available for more than half the games.
Let's take a brief time out. You know, Aaron Judge spoke about baseball today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we'll hear some of what he had to say. And Adam Ottavino, one of the newest Mets, has taken a very clear shot at the New York Yankees. We'll hear all of it when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
So Aaron Judge met with the media today. And he said, I want to be a Yankee for life.
As long as I'm playing baseball, you know, I want to be wearing pinstripes. You know, it's been an honor and a blessing to be here, you know, get a chance to play in this franchise, you know, be surrounded by so many great players and walk in the footsteps of so many other former great players that have played this game. You know, there's no better place to play, you know, on this planet. And I strongly believe that. And, you know, I've been vocal about that. You know, I want to stay here in pinstripes. So, you know, if that happens, it happens. But, you know, if it comes to it that it doesn't, you know, like I've said before, I'll enjoy my memories here, enjoy my time with you guys especially, and, you know, all my teammates and everybody.
Saying all the right things, not putting any ultimatums or pressure on anybody. I think he's saying all the right things, how he wants to be here, but it is a business. So he's kind of like nudging the Yankees, all right, make an offer, let's get something done before spring training. And the Yankees, I don't know if they'll do that or they'll wait till after the season, but once you wait till after the season, there's 29 other teams bidding.
Yeah, but you're the Yankees, right? If you really want them, you're not going to allow yourself to get outbid. Now, does he give a discount? Like, how bad does he want to be a Yankee? Meaning not testing free agency and signing during the season or turning down a higher offer to stay with the Yankees for less.
Now, he was asked if he had spoken to Gio and Sanchez since the trade.
I have. I've spoken to him and spoke to Gary, you know, that night when it kind of came out. So I think we were all kind of shocked and surprised at what happened. And I came up with Gary, you know, through the minor leagues. And, you know, I've watched him develop, watched him grow as, you know, not only as a player, but as a person. And, you know, to see one of your brothers kind of leave like that, it's a shot in the arm. But, I'm excited for his opportunity. You know, I think he's going to be in a good spot in Minnesota. You know, there's a couple other, you know, ex-Yankees there. I know JK is there with them, and, you know, he's got Gio with them now too. But I just wish him, you know, nothing but the best and, you know, continued success.
Now, Aaron Boone also spoke and talked about how much outfield Giancarlo Stanton will play.
I think a decent amount. I think it obviously went really well last year. You know, it was something that he wanted to do. And I think he was probably even pleasantly surprised with how well his body was responding. He obviously was playing really well when we started to have him do that. So whether it's 2 days, 3 days a week, I don't have that plan yet. You know, again, he'll kind of tell us that. His body will tell us that. But to have that flexibility, you know, especially the way our roster's constructed currently, to be able to move guys around, and it just allows the matchups on a daily basis to play out a little bit better. But I would expect a fair amount out there. And on top of that, I thought he played really well out there. So that was encouraging. But he's ready to go. He's eager to get back out there. And I think it's reasonable to think he'll be out there a fair amount.
All right, and Stanton spoke today, and he said, hey, I'm tired of losing.
I'm tired of coming up short, so that's the goal every year. So it's repeated and all over the walls and the common goal. So when you don't get to that, the past few years, the frustration builds. So we got a lot of time on our hands, a lot of time to work and get that process going, and it's a matter of executing when we need to.
Now, Adam Ottavino was a Red Sox last year. The previous 2 years he played for the Yankees. Now he's a Met. He talked about joining the New York Mets.
Oh, it's great. It's where I really want to be. I mean, I get to sleep in my own bed and see my kids more and not have to move three times. So that's the biggest thing. Excited about that and obviously this team. So it's great that a good team is in New York.
I think it was hard to hear, but he said it's great to be able to join a good team in New York. So a little shade. And finally, Buck Showalter spoke about Francisco Lindor and the expectations on the shortstop now starting his contract, because last year was, you know, the final year of before free agency, and then signed an extension. So here's Buck.
Just needing to be our shortstop. If he brings that, you know, anything else he wants to bring, the last thing anybody here is going to do is try to put a thumb on some personality or something. I want him to be himself, and trying to get me a pair of those green shoes, I'd look pretty fast in those things.
Pretty fast. And finally, Freddie Freeman's still unsigned. There were a lot of rumors yesterday that it could be that he'd end up in Toronto. That's what Carlos Baerga was reporting. But Buster only said this earlier on ESPN.
And now Freddie Freeman's market appears to be the Dodgers and perhaps the Yankees. From the Dodgers' perspective, they're trying to make up for some of that offense lost when Corey Seager signed with the Texas Rangers a couple of months ago. Freeman is someone who can play first base. Maybe he can be a DH. He'd be going back to his home state of California. The Yankees also have interest and they have a need, but their payroll is high enough where that might not necessarily be the guy they'll target. Anthony Rizzo could return to the Yankees as their first baseman.
And you wonder if the vaccination mandate puts a little bit of fly in the ointment about bringing Rizzo back. So a lot of things that the Yankees have to consider. I'm surprised that, you know, Buster still thinks that they're in it. The Yankees have been very stealth. Nobody expected the Josh Donaldson deal to happen, and it happened. That's how Cashman works. So maybe there's somebody else out there that we're not hearing about that they'll end up getting that person. But seems like they're still in on Freeman. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Jay in Brooklyn. Jay.
Hello?
Hello, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Very good, Jay.
That's good, that's good. Hey, Peter, I'm one of the listeners from the morning show, and this is your favorite transporter here. I was calling about the mandates, and there's somebody that works in healthcare. I heard a caller say earlier about you want to return back to the freezer and things like that. I was one of those guys that was bringing bodies onto those containers that was outside the hospitals as a transporter. So, of course, I never want to go back to that. That was one of the most traumatizing things I ever had to do as a healthcare professional in that realm. But as far as the mandate goes with players and this whole thing with Eric Adams, I was one that was believing that the rules have been lifted by the time he became mayor. Granted, I'm a Nets fan and somebody that wants to see Kyrie play. And it's hard. It's a double-edged sword for me. You know, I don't believe that has to happen. I lost a couple of coworkers of mine that didn't take the vaccine that works in hospitals. that is not going to be back at work. That's because they decided not to. And on the flip side, I had to take a booster shot a day before they said that you don't have to take a booster.
Wow.
It's so mind-boggling that it's a confusing state. And it's just one of those, like, I can't put my finger to anything that's going on right now with this whole pandemic.
Jay, that's what makes it frustrating. I think in the past, when it first started, they wanted you to get vaccines, not just for yourself, but for others, to protect others. Now, even if you have a vaccine, you can spread the virus to other people. You can get it and spread it. I think now it becomes a personal choice. If you get the vaccine, it's for you, so you don't get hospitalized and get really sick. But it doesn't stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. It might stop maybe the frequency or the ease of spreading it, but you can still spread it.
But it does reduce the viral load, and that's important because then if you don't get it as bad, you don't end up in the hospital. You just don't want our city to get overwhelmed again because we don't know what next variant's going to come. You know, the Omicron was less dangerous, but it was highly, highly infectious. You don't want to get to the point where we got when this first happened. And nobody knows what's around the corner, so you just want to be ready. We also want to be open things up, and that's the conundrum, right? Is how do you get back to normal knowing that things aren't really still normal? And we have no idea how things are going to be around the corner. Right, Michael, if this new variant is taking over China, all you need is one person to fly from China to New York City, and then it's here. And you saw how fast Omicron spread. So that's how quickly this can all change. Right now we're in an outstanding place. Does that mean we're going to be here in April, in May?
But that's kind of what made Jay's call so powerful. I mean, he's really dealt with every side of it. I mean, he is a frontline worker. He was the one transferring bodies. He also had coworkers die because they didn't get the vaccine. And on top of that, he's a Nets fan who would love to see Kyrie Irving play, right? There are just so many things that make the whole thing so, so confusing.
Let's go to John in Chatham. John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Michael, I agree about trading the not vaccinated players, but you're not going to get true value of because these other owners are going to know that. And say if Judge, they'll say, yeah, we'll give you Dudley Doolittle and a couple prospects for him. So then it's not going to work.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you why. First of all, we don't know if Judge is vaccinated or not. We're just assuming because he wouldn't answer today. But let's say if it was Judge, right? Aaron Judge is one of the best players in baseball. So if Team A wants to give you Dudley Doolittle, Team B is going to realize, I had a chance to get Aaron Judge. Yankees would get a huge return. Now, it wouldn't be commensurate to his talent because he only has 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
But if it's a team like the Dodgers or the Giants that know that they could sign him, they would give a big, big return to the Yankees to get Aaron Judge. Again, I'm not saying Aaron Judge is unvaccinated. I'm not saying that the Yankees would do it. I'm saying both the Yankees and the Mets have to seriously consider trading the players that are unvaccinated if they have the ability to do so, and those players don't have no trade clauses, simply because of the fact you can't just completely trash a year by having a player miss anywhere from 83 to 93 games. You can't do it. It's not fair to the other teammates, because if these are important players, you're taking important cogs out of the middle of your order for more than half the season. It can't and shouldn't be allowed. And that would be a tough pill to swallow if it was a great Yankee or a great Met that the fans love. But do you want to win this year or not? If you want to win this year, you've got to make tough decisions. And I'm going to tell you what, if they're investigating free agents now that they know are unvaccinated, both teams, and they're not sure if this mandate's going to be lifted, they can't sign those people. They can't.
No.
It'd be stupid. It wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any baseball sense. Would you sign a player that you know is going to be injured for 93 days out of the year? 93 games out of 162? No. So essentially, they'd be injured. They'd be unable, except you wouldn't have to pay them. If you're injured, you'd have to pay them. But if you're out because you don't get vaccinated, you don't have to get paid. The fact that the Players Association agreed to that shows you the Players Association thinks all of its players should be vaccinated. but they can't order them to do that. And they will not agree to let the teams order them to do that. But they, but by saying, if you're not vaccinated and you miss games, you cannot get paid, the Players Association kind of gently nudging their constituency, you know what? Get vaccinated. We'll be back on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.